Well, praise God. Amen, 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 amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Malachi chapter 3. I'm on, right? There we go. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. We're going to pray. Believe God for utterance tonight and walk out of here different. Amen? Amen? You know, if we come to church in 8-degree weather, we might as well get something. Yes. We might as well walk out of here different. Father, help us tonight to receive all that you have for us. Father, anytime the word goes forth, there's opportunity for increase. There's opportunity for change. Father, never did you say something in the Bible and back in Bible times or have Jesus ever say anything that wouldn't lead to someone's life being different. And so, Father, we're going with the same manual tonight, Father. We're going with your word. And so I thank you, Father, that as I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. Father, I don't endeavor to speak with opinions or philosophies or enticing words of man's wisdom, but, Father, we need a demonstration of the Spirit and power. So, Father, I thank you that everything that comes out of my mouth will be from heaven tonight. And I thank you that specific things will strike chords in each person's heart, whether they're here in the building or whether they are at home watching by live stream. Father, I thank you that you're going to touch hearts and change lives here tonight. May your deeds be done. May your words be made manifest, Father. We give you the praise and the glory. We thank you for a time of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Malachi chapter 3, I just want to read a quick verse. In verse 8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed him, but you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings." And for a time now, my spirit has been prompted to be meditating on certain portions of Scripture concerning one of the two words there, tithes and offerings, on the offering part of it. And I've been meditating on things and just renewing my mind to more things and encouraging and building upon that which I'm already been imparted unto me. And what was interesting is it almost coincided when I started to do that. I had people privately reach out to me, several different people concerning the offering and just different things and people that maybe are on the outside looking in, don't understand it, people that are giving it don't fully understand it, and just different questions have come up by it. And then, you remember on Sunday, I was prompted in my spirit to have people to reevaluate the building fund going forward in 2022. And not from a place, you know how we are around here, we're very careful about money, you know, in the sense that we don't manipulate you to give, we don't twist your arm to give. I had a gentleman on Sunday say to me after service, "Pastor, I'm sorry," and the heart was tender and precious. It was unneeded, but it was a tender and precious heart. They said, "Pastor, I didn't put my tithe in this week." And I said, "Well, brother, whether you do or you don't, I wouldn't know. You know, I don't thumb through the offerings to see who gave and who didn't, or ask for your 401 or your 10. What is the thing we get there? W-2. I'm thinking all the other numbers. You know, I don't ask for your W-2 to try to see if you're tithing 10%. That's between you and God. Amen. I just get the bottom line number, what comes in. You know, but." And so we're careful about those things with money, and we don't want people to feel manipulated or their arm twisted. But at the same time, there's lots to be said in the Word of God concerning it. In fact, Jesus spoke more about money and material things than he did heaven and hell combined. It's just the truth. There, money and material things might be the number one topic throughout the whole Bible as far as the majority of scriptures. And I believe God did that on purpose because people need help in those areas because it's the number one place that people stumble and trip up. Yeah. The majority of things that people want to meet with me about, number one at the top of the list is money and finances, by far. And so people need help with this. And so on Sunday, the Lord prompted me to tell people to reevaluate some things. And I gave a specific homework to and how to reevaluate the building fund, because the building fund, what it really represents, is not just increase for the church. Any offering doesn't represent the increase for that which the offering is going to. Tithes and offerings are a way for God to get more to you. Anytime he talks in the Bible about tithes and offerings, there's a purpose for it, but then at the end of it, he always says how you're the doer of that is going to be increased and better off, right? And so God's not trying to take from us. But anyways, if you remember on Sunday, I said, and this is where we know we can be safe. You know, if I ever stand up here and say, you know, God told me that each of you need to give $1,000 a week, that's not the church you want to be a part of. Amen. That's a church that's, you know, manipulating you, trying to get you to, you know, give a certain amount and things like that. That's not how God works or the Bible works. But what I did say is what? You know, if we're a part of this house, you know, in my own home, you know, like Tuesday nights, Caleb gets all the recycling, Caleb gets all the garbages, cleans them out of all the houses, all the rooms, fills the bags back up, puts them in the cans, drags the cans down to the front of the road. Why? He's a part of the house. He's going to contribute. You know, I don't just sit around and do nothing. Courtney doesn't sit around and do nothing. Abby does stuff around the house. Why? We're contributing to the house. Well, we ought to contribute to the house of God as well. And so when that building fund that's to what? Pay off this building that we are taking advantage of and being blessed by, that's for all of us to be a part of that. Amen. That's not just for, well, this is for the Wednesday night crew only or the people that are really excited about God. No, we're all receiving from it. We ought to all take part in it. And so what I said to you on Sunday, if you remember, for your homework, how do we reevaluate? Don't just throw anything in the bucket. Because it's an opportunity, go to God with it and say, okay, Father, we do this once a month. Now, if the Lord tells you to put a building fund in every week, by all means, do it. It doesn't have to be on the last Sunday. But my heart is to get you to obey what God is saying. Not to twist your arm to give an amount, not to twist your arm to give more in 2022, not to twist your arm to give less in 2022, or to stay the same. But what is God saying? You know, we've done that with different offerings here. When we've taken up offerings for the flooring in the fellowship hall or the parking lot, what did I say? We're all a part of it. We all ought to give towards it. But what is God telling you to do? And we see in the Word over and over where God spoke specifically things for people to do. They did it, and they walked into increase they could otherwise not have, right, or wouldn't have thought to give on that level. And so I'm asking people to do that, to reevaluate, because, and it's just interesting how he had me start stirring some things about the offering. People started reaching out to me, and then he's prompting me to have people reevaluate before our first building fund offering, but then to preach this message, because anytime we say things, everything we want to be foundationally backed up by the Word of God and to encourage us. And so we're talking about offerings tonight. And in that verse, we saw tithes and offerings. And let me just say this real quick. There's a difference between tithes and offerings. They're not the same thing. The tithe is what? It's the 10%. It's the 10th part. That's what that word tithe means. The offering, so example, say you got paid $1,000. The tithe of that $1,000 is a tenth part of that, which would be $100. Well, the tithe has its own blessings, and we've talked about that. We're not going to take time on that tonight. The tithe is more an obedience thing. The offering is too, but at the same time, there's not a specific amount for an offering unless God tells you to do it. But there is a specific amount with the tithe. It's a percentage, amen? And so that $1,000, $100 would be the tithe. Anything you give above that would be considered an offering on that $900 that's remaining, would be considered an offering, or what the Bible calls seed, right? When you bring your tithe, you're not sowing seed. You're doing obedience, and you're being obedient, and that has its own blessings. But there's also specific blessings for the one that tithes and gives offerings. Amen? And a lot of times people are confused by that, and a lot of times people will just stay where they're maybe just, they're not tithing and they think they're giving offerings, but really what they're doing is they're tipping God, you know. You can't be a giver until you're first a tither. Because if you just think you're giving and it's below the tithe, you're actually called a robber. will a man rob God? You know, and really what you're ultimately robbing him of is the opportunity to do what he said he would do for the one that is obedient. And so I want to look at some things tonight concerning the offering. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. And so we know we're getting ready to take up an offering on Sunday, and we're going to take up these offerings once a month, and you can again give at any time. I designate my building fund for once a month, and I'm going to do the same thing. I'm not going to just do what I've always done. You know, the Bible tells me I can purpose in my heart what I want to give, but I can also follow the Holy Ghost. And if the Holy Spirit tells me to increase it, I'm going to increase it. If the Holy Spirit just leaves it up to me, I'm going to endeavor to be generous. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, and Ginny, can we pull all these verses up in the Amplified? They're so much clearer at times and more in depth. And it is a lot of reading, but it'll help us to understand. So you can, if you don't have an Amplified, you can follow along. But what this is, and you'll see, is this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. And he's talking about an offering that is about to be received from the people. And so I'm going to pick it up in chapter 8, verse 1, and I'm going to read down through verse 11 in the Amplified, and then we're going to mention some things going forward. This is Paul's introduction in chapter 8 and chapter 9 concerning this offering that's going to be taken up. He says, "We want to tell you further, brethren, about the grace, the favor, and spiritual blessing of God, which has been evident in the churches of Macedonia, arousing in them the desire to give alms or offerings." That's what that means. "For in the midst of an ordeal of severe tribulation, their abundance of joy and their depth of poverty together have overflowed in wealth of lavish generosity on their part." So Paul's addressing the Corinthian church and about this offering that's going to be taken up. And he's bragging about another church, the church of Macedonia. And it says here, "For as I can bear witness, they gave according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, and they did it voluntarily, begging us most insistently for the favor and the fellowship of contributing in this ministration for the relief and support of the saints in Jerusalem. Nor was this gift of theirs merely the contribution that we expected, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and to us as his agents by the will of God, entirely disregarding their personal interests." Isn't that what your pastor asked you to do Sunday? Ask God. Ask God what to do. "They gave as much as they possibly could, having put themselves at our disposal to be directed by the will of God, so much that we have urged Titus that as he began it, he should also complete this beneficent and gracious contribution among you, the church at Corinth. Now, as you abound and excel and are front in everything," so he's now going to brag at some of their characteristics that they have, "you abound and excel in faith and expressing yourselves in knowledge, in all zeal, and in your love for us, see to it that you come to the front now and abound and excel in this gracious work of almsgiving also or offering." So he says, you're doing great in all these other things, but make sure you excel in your giving as well. "I give this not as an order to dictate you, but to prove by pointing out the zeal of others, the sincerity of your own love also." Notice Paul said you can tell a person's love and sincerity by their giving. That's what he's saying. He's bragging on this other church saying, I know they're with us. They're with the kingdom because of their giving. "For you are becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and his kindness, his gracious generosity, his undeserved favor and spiritual blessing, and that though he was very rich, yet for your sakes he became so very poor, in order that by his poverty you might become enriched, abundantly supplied. It is then my counsel and my opinion in this matter that I give you, that I give when I say, it is profitable and fitting for you now to complete the enterprise, which more than a year ago you not only began, but were the first to wish to do anything about contributions for the relief of the saints at Jerusalem. So now finish doing it, that your enthusiastic readiness in desiring it may be equaled by your completion of it according to to your ability and means." And so Paul here is talking to this church, getting ready to take up an offering, and he's encouraging them and telling them some things and talking about this other church. But what he's basically doing is saying, okay, we're getting ready to do this. Excel in this grace. Make sure you complete it. It's profitable. It's beneficial for you to do it. And it's like, okay, God spoke to me. have the people reevaluate going forward for this offering for the building fund. And so here we are, we take up offerings every service, but this one's kind of one we highlight once a month. And when the Spirit of God says this or prompts this, it's for a specific purpose and a reason. Why would he want people to reevaluate? Because maybe if we do the reevaluating the way that he told me to do, which is right and keeps us out of cult territory and manipulation territory, which is what? I'm just, whether you give or not, like that gentleman on Sunday said, Pastor, I'm so sorry. You don't ever have to apologize to me if you give or don't give or however this. I don't know if you are or if you're not. I don't want to know. That's between you and the Father. My job is to preach truth. Your job is to do truth. Well, and how it keeps out of cult status, manipulation status is what? To reevaluate how? Father, am I doing what you want me to do with this offering? Is there anything that I'm missing, anything you want me to change based on your perspective and what you would have for me? Amen? So that's what we're asking people to do. And so I want to go forward. So here Paul says this, and then he goes down through the verses, and then he talks about his fellow brother in the Lord, Titus, that's going to come. He's going to collect this and take this up. And now we pick it up in chapter 9 and verse 6. And we'll keep it in the Amplified, Jenny. Chapter 9 and verse 6. So remember, he's telling them, we're taking this offering up. You should do it. It's a blessing to do it. This other church is doing it. Prove your love by doing it. Follow through. Excel in this grace. I'm sending Titus to you. And I love the teaching that Paul gives us here in verses 6 through 10. But this I say, well, I'm going to actually go in the Amplified. I'll just read up here. Remember this. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. He who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. Well, let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his own heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure and prizes above other things, is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. And God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always, under all circumstances, whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnish in abundance for every good and charitable donation. Next verse. As it is written, he, the benevolent person, scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. Verse 10 says, and God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. Jenny, would you go back to verse 6? I'm going to pull it up on my phone as well. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6 in the Amplified. And so I want to read to you some things that God has been stirring in my heart to encourage us with going forward. Because there's some things to be had from the kingdom that take our doing. And so Paul says, we're taking up an offering. You've been preparing for this for a year. It's good that you're doing this. Other church did it. It proves your love. There's blessings involved with it. And I love it before he ends his letter. Paul says this in verse 6. Remember this. The first thing I want you to see, because these whole two chapters are talking about taking up an offering. I love that two whole chapters were devoted to offerings. We don't preach whole sermons on money very much around here, where the whole thing is about it. But when the Holy Ghost says to do it, there's a reason for it. I love that Paul said, remember this. And in the King James, it says, but this I say. But you look at more of the modern translations in the original Greek, he was reminding them of something. I love that Paul had no problem reminding people of things in the Word or spiritual principles, but had no shame in backing down of reminding them about something concerning finances. There's a great pressure in the church world to fill seats because for some reason it's been judged in the world that you have a successful church if you have the biggest church and the biggest worship team and the most seats. And, well, that's not the formula of John the Baptist. It's not the formula of Jesus when most people left Jesus and John the Baptist stood alone crying in the wilderness. And you see the persecution and people that stick with the word. And so popularity doesn't always mean you're successful. Amen? There's a lot of people or things that are very popular, but I wouldn't necessarily call them very successful or bearing much fruit that's worth a darn. Amen? Popularity does not equal that. And I love that Paul didn't mind doing that. And we don't have to turn there, but if you remember in Philippians 3:1, he says, it's not grievous for me to remind you of things over and over, but for you, it is safe that I do so. And so I love before he's even about to say what he's saying, he said, I don't have a problem reminding you or telling you something. And then when you see about what he's about to remind them on, it's like, wow, here's a minister that was not afraid to preach the truth and was not afraid to tell people what they needed, because what they need is what's going to get them blessed. You see, I can't stress the importance of repetition when it comes to things in the Word. I experience this all the time, but last Saturday night, we just finished a mini-series on a two-part series of what? God is with us, part one and part two. Well, I knew I needed to share that in Allegheny. People needed to hear that message, and, you know, there's a pressure on ministers to try to come up with something new. It's like, the more you go at it, there is nothing new. You might get new revelation on some things, but the manual's the manual. And ministers that have gone before, like the Apostle Paul says, I'm reminding you and reminding you. Well, on Saturday as I'm preaching that, I'm recognizing in myself how much I've been meditating on God is with me, how I already preached that sermon, but yet how I'm preaching it and I'm getting more and my spirit's getting strengthened and strengthened. There's such an importance on repetition. You don't become skillful at something one time. Right. You know, I talk about how, you know, if there was anything to look in my childhood that I did excel in, because I failed in a whole lot of things, and that's not just me being self-deprecating and beating myself up or the Eeyore pastor, you know. I'm telling you, I failed a lot, messed up a lot as Mike Anderson, but I was good at baseball. But I didn't get good at turning those double plays and, you know, fielding the ground balls and making the all-star teams and things because I went out and fielded one ground ball. No, my dad would hit them to me until it got dark, till I couldn't see it anymore. I'd wake up and begin to throw the ball against the barn and work on my form and get in the batting cage and hit over and over and over and over and over the same thing over and over and over again, and you excel in that. And so I love the fact that even in this, when it comes to money, Paul's saying, I need to remind you of something. Because if I don't remind you and get that repetitiveness in you, you won't excel at this. And remember what he said in verse 8. He said, you're excelling in faith, you're excelling in love, you got the gifts of the Spirit operating, but you also need to excel in your giving. And the only way you're going to excel in giving, because how many of you know you can give and not excel in it? There's people that are giving and they're not excelling in it, and then there's other people that are giving and they're excelling in it. Well, why? How do we get to that excelling place? He says, I got to remind you of some things, because you excel in something after repetitiveness. Amen? Amen? And not only to remind us to excel, but those of us that are faithful to hear from heaven, to give, I don't mean tithe, but to tithe and to give on a regular basis, this is encouragement to us. You'll know that if you bless me personally, and you know, people are very generous around here to myself and my family. When Paul got a gift in Philippians chapter 4, he said this. He said, I don't desire the gift, but I desire that fruit would abound to your account. Now, I don't believe God would have put that in there if Paul was lying about that. If Paul was being, you know, just trying to sound good and blow smoke at us and just make us think, wow, what a humble minister. I believe that that was true, that Paul did that. Well, it's the same thing. When people give me offering, I'm telling you, I don't sit, or a blessing, I don't sit and think, wow, what can I do with this? That is not my first thought that comes into my mind. The first thought that comes into my mind is, I get this, what do they get on the return? Right. You know, if you love somebody, you're thinking about their well-being more than your own well-being. Right. When you think about your own well-being, that's called selfishness. Yeah. And I don't want to be a selfish pastor, and the word is true to me, and I know how this stuff works. And so when people bless me, my first thought is, or people give into an offering, wow, what's going to come back to them? And so these things that we're talking about tonight and some of the time we have left, for those that are doing this, it'll be a great reminder to us of what belongs to us and what we can expect. Amen? Because many of us have much seed in the ground. Praise God. And much sacrifice. Hallelujah. So we'll get to some of the things Paul reminded, but that's the first thing, is Paul's reminding you why he says we got to tell you over and over so you can excel in this. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. And we'll just keep it right in the Amplified the whole night there. He says in verse 7, let each one. So what's he saying? Nobody's excluded from this. You know, I know by my heart, you say you don't check, I don't check, but I know by the Spirit of God that not everybody a part of the two churches that I pastor cooperate with this giving and receiving. I know that. But the Bible says let each one, what? Let each one of that body at home, that body of Christ there, let each one, as he has made up his own mind, purpose, heart, first he says, let each one give. That's what he's saying. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind, purpose, his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. But notice what he's saying. Each one ought to give. Right? And then if you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 11, look what he tells them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 11, Paul says, so now finish doing it. What's he saying? Don't be an undoer, be a doer, praise God. What am I saying, number two? Number one, we need to be reminded. Number two, be a doer of giving. The Apostle Paul is urging them to do it. Why? The blessing in anything in the Word is found in the doing. What does James say? Be not ye hearers of the Word only, but doers of the work, right? And then it goes on to say, for a man that hears and doesn't do is like a man beholding his face in a glass, looks at it, forgets. He says, no, be a doer of the word. The doer is blessed in all his deeds. So Paul is saying, if you want the blessing, you got to be a doer of it. Amen? I have been, shown, Jesus used a lot of agricultural analogies to represent spiritual truths, didn't he? He did. He talked a lot about that type of stuff. And even when he talks about the giving, he likens the money to a seed, right? Or planting of something. Well, I got involved in it with deer hunting this year. Hadn't really had much experience with it over the years of planting food plots, and learning about them. And I'll be honest, the way I'm geared, when I don't know how to do something, I'm not a person that will dive into that. I'm intimidated naturally if I don't understand something, or I tend to draw back from something. And so when the idea of having this 4.5-acre field that's available for me to use to plant, the idea of deer coming out in droves to eat the food that I planted sounded wonderful, right? The idea of that sounded wonderful. And doesn't the idea of reaping a huge financial blessing sound great? Oh, when the checks come in and the promotions come in and unexpected favor and blessings and you get good deals with whatever, you're shopping, car lots. We love when harvests come in, and the idea of that's great. And the idea of deer coming to the food plot in droves was wonderful. But because I didn't know how to do it, I don't know the first thing about keeping a plant alive, yet alone planting 4 acres and making these things grow to be right for deer and spending the money and taking the time. And it was intimidating to me. And a gentleman that was helping me on this property, an older man, he said to me, he said, Mike, he said, you're going to regret it come October, November, and December if you don't get this field planted. And every time he'd see it, he'd give me a hard time. Why isn't there things growing up on that field? He's just a really gruff guy. You're going to regret it. And I just kept avoiding it because I didn't know what I was doing. But also, what I did know about it was that it wasn't going to just be light and easy, labor-wise. Field needs to be brush hogged. Field needs to be plowed. Field needs to be tilled. Field needs to be rolled. Field needs to be fertilized. Field needs to be limed. These things need to be bought. Heavy bags of fertilizer, heavy bags of lime, spreading it and spraying. All this stuff that I've never done before, first of all. But second of all, that requires time and effort. And so I stayed away, and he kept saying to me, if you don't do it, you're going to regret it down the road. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, Caleb and I had the time of our lives for about a 2 or 3 week stretch when the wind was right. We'd sit on that food plot because I ended up doing it. And the deer did exactly what we wanted them, came in droves, and we're watching them and just having a great time. And he was right. I would regret it if I didn't do it. And I'm here trying to tell people, and I hope that people that are not here, because as I look around, I'm telling you, the whole church is not here. That those that can't be here, and that's not to put a weight of condemnation around you. I'm just saying, hopefully you're listening to this, and if you're not, I'm just talking to the wind right now, because you're not hearing this. But I'm telling people, if we don't take advantage of what the Holy Ghost is telling us concerning this building fund and going forward in our giving, down the road, we're going to regret it if we don't. Now, I would have never known what it was like to sit on a food plot when the winter is coming and the wind and the barometric pressure gets to the perfect and it just sends deer out in the fields hour before dark. I would not know what that was like had I not done it. And so, and I would have just gone on and would have been, you know, a deer would have went somewhere else and would have not known it. But looking back now, I can see all that I would have missed out on. You know, it reminds me, I've told this story so many times, of when we were in the old sanctuary that's now our fellowship hall. And remember the blue cards? We used to have blue cards. If you were here, instead of connection, we had a blue card. So you just call them the blue card. And on this blue card, this person had wrote that they were struggling financially. Well, I wanted to help them. And so I read that blue card. Normally, I don't read them before I leave the church. I take them home with me and look at the cards and pray over them at home. I don't know why that day I just looked at the card and saw it and on there saw that. Well, as soon as I read that, the Spirit of God spoke up. Now, again, I don't look at the offerings. And even if I didn't, I wouldn't know that this was the case by what the Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost said, they tithe and that's it. Well, remember in Malachi 3 and verse 8, it said tithes and offerings. Well, what Paul's talking about here is not a tithe. He's talking about an offering, which is what? Above the tithe. And the Holy Ghost said they're tithing, but they're not receiving offerings. And what's amazing is some of the blessings that the tithe brings with like supernatural protection and things lasting and longevity, they had stories that were supernatural and miraculous. But when it came to the extra of a harvest and finances, that was missing. And the Holy Ghost told me, they're not doing that. So I said, okay, I'll call them up. So I called them up and I said, this is what the Spirit of God just said to me. That you are tithing and stopping at the tithe and not giving offerings. And they said, that's right, Pastor Mike, I tithe right down to the penny. I said, okay, well, let me show you in the Word what it says. Well, months went by, got the same thing on the blue card. The Spirit of God said the same thing. I called them back. I said, read your blue card. Your finances haven't changed, but the Spirit of God just told me, neither have you. Oh, I'm struggling with this whole offering thing. I'm giving my tithes. I know, but your mind's not renewed to offerings yet, for whatever reason. Told them again. Well, time went by, and they ended up getting very offended at me. You know, a lot of times when people are struggling in the Word or in the life and not doing the Word, they'll get offended at the people that are telling them the right advice. You know, it's just the way the devil works. I've been there. Some of you have probably been there. But anyways, and they got mad, and they got mad because it wasn't working for them financially. And so now faith wasn't working because they didn't have the money that they were supposed to. And what happened was something came up where a big chunk of money was needed to pay that off, and they didn't have that. Well, when I found out about that, the Holy Ghost said to me, I tried to get a harvest ready for this person because God knows ahead that this whatever is going to happen and there's going to need to be a supply available, and the Holy Ghost through this person's pastor, supernaturally, by a word of knowledge, called them out and told them twice how to change, and they didn't. And just like that guy said, when it's harvest time, you're going to regret it if you don't. And this person, you're going to regret this if you don't. And they regretted it and struggled. The doing is what trips people up. What tripped me up from doing that food plot? It wasn't the idea of the harvest. It was the idea of the doing of all that. Because of the labor, because of the unknown, because of the time and the effort, the finances that would go into buying the seed and buying the fertilizer, buying the diesel fuel for the tractor. I mean, it's not cheap to feed deer. It's not cheap to feed deer. And it was the doing of it, because the doing what seems so hard. Well, I'll tell you what, sometimes people will look at you, their eyeballs are spinning when you say, yeah, God said tithes, 10%. That if that doesn't completely freak them out and they fall over, just wait till you get to, oh, you're not done there. But see, and we'll get to this in the end of the message, when your mind is renewed from God's perspective, the tithe and the offering are not burdens. They are springboards. They are devices to catapult you in to a future you can't get into on your own. A supernatural financial future that you can't get into on your own. See, when you do your money your way, you know, we will look at things like, thou shalt not kill. I'll sign up for that, at least I hope we are. Thou shalt not steal. Yes, I sign up for that. But tithes and offerings are same word as all the other parts of the word. And we can't pick and choose what we like and what we don't like. But the doing of it trips people up. And because people have the wrong idea on tithes and offerings, and they do things themselves, when you do things yourself and leave out God's word, you only have yourself and what natural man can bring you to help you. But I'm telling you this, I've been in situations physically, I've been in situations financially where there was no natural help. Where it took a move of the supernatural directed in my way to turn and change things. Well, when I tithe and give offerings, I have taken my finances and put them under the umbrella or the covering of the Word of God, the supernatural help. And so now what gets infused into my finances is not just natural, it's supernatural. That's why Paul's saying, I want you to excel in this. And so it's the doing in it that trips people up. The what? The thought of even seeking God on this offering, and the fact that he might tell you something that is going to hurt your flesh and hurt your mind, right? And then what? Then it's there I'm at. I'm at the doing of it. Okay, I found out. I want a food plot. I want a harvest. I want a certain harvest. Oh, wow, I'm going to have to spend all day brush hogging that field, the size tractor, and how fast it can go. Wow, I'm going to have to spend all day plowing that thing, and then all day disking it, and have to disc it again, all and doing all these things. And you get the cost, like, okay, but same with the giving. Do we want what God has promised? We all want it, but are we willing to go through the avenues to get it? And the harvest is dependent upon the seed. So do it, number two. Number three, go to verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. I'm trying to help some people here and encourage others. I love what Paul said here. Remember this. Oh, I love it that he reminds them. Why? Because you can't excel in something that you're not repetitive with. You're just not. You're not. You can't be great at something. I mean, it's very rare that someone's just awesome on the first try. You might be better than other people, but I mean, Michael Jordan lived in the gym. The greatest baseball players lived in the batting cage. Right? I mean, that's just the way it is when it comes to you want to excel in something. Musicians, greatest musicians, they're not spending the majority of their time on Facebook and practicing volleyball. They're with their instrument over and over, doing the same thing to excel in it. And number three, he says in chapter 9, verse 6, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will reap sparingly and grudgingly, and he who sows generously, the blessings may come to someone who will also reap generously and with blessings. In Galatians chapter 6, in one translation, it says this, a man's harvest in life is entirely dependent upon the seed that he sows. Well, look what he's saying. Before you do this, before you decide what you're going to put in, I just want you to remember something. That's what he's saying. The person, because remember this. Don't forget this. God, well, do I want to mention that now? Or I'm going to mention that in a second. Paul's saying to them, remember this before you do this. If you give sparingly, it is a guaranteed truth that you are going to reap sparingly. You know how I can assure myself of if I'm given sparingly? Father, what should I do? Now, if the Holy Ghost, I believe with things like this, one offering a month, you know, we have so many offerings, maybe we don't have time all the time to sit down and we just, out of our hearts, which the Bible says, we endeavor to give generously. But stuff like this, when the Holy Ghost says, reevaluate, ask me, I believe we're going to have peace on a number each month to sow into this building fund. I just believe if the Holy Ghost says to do it, amen, that it's going to, that's going to be the case. Well, he says, I just want to remind you, before you do this, there's going to be a harvest. There's going to be a harvest. It's not a question of if there's going to be a harvest. There's going to be some kind of harvest here within your church. And whether or not the harvest within your church is sparingly or bountifully completely depends on what you sow. We determine our harvest. Thank God for it. Here's a field of 4 acres, 4.5 acres. Well, I go and see my seed man, ask him, what do I do for 4.5 acres? He says, okay, you want 4.5 acres to come up out of the ground, stuff to come up out of the ground for 4.5 acres? You want that to come up out of the ground? Well, you're going to have to buy this much seed and plant this much seed to get that. But I don't want to pay for that much seed. Oh, that's fine. You don't have to, but you can't reap that harvest that you want. Because the harvest that you get, Mike, is dependent on the seed that you put in the ground. Amen. You know, that's why this sowing and reaping stuff works. And we'll get to the last point here in a second and mention how it's from God and that. But I love, you know, so many people can be so critical of others that have prosperity or abundance, right? And, you know, one of the people I get criticized the most, it's in the forefront of the body of Christ, is Reverend Kenneth Copeland. Very wealthy minister. And people automatically think that if you're in the church world, if you're a minister, you ought not to have anything. I mean, there's a denomination that the ministers take a vow of poverty. It's the truth. I vow to be in poverty. Well, God says, I desire that you would be in prosperity. Over and over again, his word. And then you look throughout the word, and God made the richest man in the East who lost everything. He made him doubly the richest man in the East, Job. Solomon was the richest man around. That was God's man. David was completely... Abraham. God's not against wealth. He's against wealth having you. You know, and how can we be generous without wealth? How can we be generous without increase? You know, it's not usually people that are in poverty or what you would consider naturally poor that are the funders for charities and churches and for people that are in need. No. We need to be blessed so we can be a blessing. That's our heart's cry. But someone like him, you know, super blessed. Well, if this sowing and reaping works, Paul says there's going to be a harvest. we know that it works. Well, a lot of times, I know this, that I planted that 4.5 acres of a food plot. Not hardly anybody saw me do it. You know, I'm out there doing it by myself and didn't see me do it. Well, think about when it comes to our giving. The Bible says our one hand ought not to know what our other hand's doing. That we ought not to declare or proclaim what we're doing, but, you know, just kind of not be big and boastful about it, but just kind of give our offerings, right? And people, like, you don't know unless you're married to the person. You don't know what the person next to you is sowing. You don't know what they're putting in the ground. You don't know that when God tells them to do something, they're quick to do it, that they're generous week after week after week. Like, we don't know that, is what I'm saying. So if the harvest really works, when things show up, who are we to criticize? Well, I'm so mad at you that you got 4.5 acres. Yeah, but I planted a seed for that. Why didn't my fields get food plots? Did you plant seed? No, I didn't. Well, I planted a seed. So when harvests and blessings and increase show up in people's lives, we ought not to be critical. That's between them and God. But we don't know, maybe. And I know for Brother Copeland, here he reaps in great amounts, blessings after blessings. But how many dozens of airplanes has the man given away? And seriously, what's he putting in when he goes to Pastor Nancy's church or goes to a service or a church? What's he sowing behind the scenes to different churches around the country? How many personal people is he giving thousands to bless? Those are all seeds that have to produce. And I remember a story just to kind of give you an idea about reaping. And we see the wealth in this man. And just to encourage you, because if you're a sower, there's things you ought to expect. Remember the story of the lady who her husband had passed away and he was the owner of an airplane. And now that he was gone, it was going to change her finances and she needed to kind of liquidate some things and get in a better position financially, kind of get smaller financially with you know, her husband being gone. And so she needed to sell the airplane. And Brother Copeland got wind of it. Just a wonderful woman. He got wind of it, approached her and said to her, she had a certain amount of debt that she needed to pay off. Well, so one of the things that needed to go was the airplane. So she's got a certain amount of debt that needs to be paid off. And Brother Copeland says to her, how much do you need for that airplane? I'd like to buy it. She didn't hear what he said because her response was, well, the airplane has this so and so many hours. It's this year, many years old. And this is what they're asking for. And this is what it's worth. And Brother Hagen asked her, or Brother Copeland asked her again, so how much do you need for the airplane? And she went through it again. Well, it's worth this much and much, and so we'll sell it this. I think this happened 3 times. What do you need for the airplane? Well, it's worth this much. And Brother Copeland finally said, you're not listening to me. I don't care how much it's worth. How much do you personally need this airplane to be worth? And so what'd she do? She told him the total of her debts. He said, I'll buy the plane for that amount of money. Now that's generosity. That seed that goes into the ground and the harvest on that man, but I can tell you that man is extremely generous. I'm here to tell you, as your pastor, I'm supposed to be an example. You do not have a cheapskate pastor. You don't. In fact, I've often told you with giving and receiving, sometimes I feel selfish with it because I know how much it works, right? I'll sow into an offering, I'll sow into a person, I'll sow into a minister, and I'm trying to hide my giddiness of what's coming back to me, right? Your seed depends on, or your harvest depends on your seed. Can you see, I'm almost ready to close here. Can you see how ignorance would hurt people in the body of Christ that don't know this? I sat next to my dad, God bless his soul, Paul Anderson, and I saw him pull out 20 after 20, week after week, and give it in the offering. And I thought, my gosh, 20 bucks when you're fourth grade, third grade, second grade, a 20? You know how much candy I can buy down at Hebner Heights? That's the candy store Pastor Tim and I used to go to. I mean, you bring $2 down to Hebner Heights, man, you're walking out, I mean, the Swedish fish are a penny. I mean, you're loading up on 10-cent blow pops, and who can forget the 10-cent Fun Dip? Is Fun Dip not the best? a sugar stick to dip more sugar. So you go in there with a dollar and you're getting like loaded up. And you think of a 20, and the whole time my dad, in his ignorance, has no idea to tithe, no idea to give offerings. And what did my dad always complain about? Money. What did my dad always struggle with? Money. He was born again. He loved the Lord. But because nobody told him this, he stayed in ignorance. Why? Because his harvest is dependent upon his seed. And he had no seed in the ground. He had no idea. He was walking around robbing from God. That's why I'm so thankful that Paul did not shy away to tell people, before you give me this offering, I want to remind you of something. Amen. That's why I won't shy away from tithes and offerings. People say, I can't afford to tithe. Well, I'm in a position where I can't afford not to tithe. There's too much good with it. Too much blessing that comes with it. Amen. And last but not least here, understand this with the offering, and this will help us. It only leads to good because it was from God. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor Mike? Well, first of all, remember this. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above. So when God gives something, it's good and perfect. When God sets something up, it's good and perfect. Now, man manipulates it and twists it and perverts it and makes it wrong. But when God endeavors to do something, it's good and perfect. Well, remember in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says this. In the beginning, what? God created the heaven and the earth. God structured planet Earth how God wanted to structure planet Earth, right? The principles, the laws, what? Laws of gravity, right? Different principles. They're only that way because that's how God set it up. Now, Jenny, go to Genesis 8 and verse 22, and it can be in the King James. Genesis 8 and verse 22, real quick. So God created the heaven and the earth. What he creates is good. Well, look at one of the principles or one of the systems that God has set up on the earth. Genesis 8 and verse 22. While the earth remains, so as long as there's earth, this is always going to be the case. Seed, time, and harvest. And of course, cold and heat, summer, winter, day and night shall not cease. But what he says, one thing that's always, well, was day and night a God thing? Yeah. God did the sun, God did the moon, God did this whole revolve 24-hour type thing where some of us have daylight sometimes, some of us dark. That's his deal. Cold and heat, summer and winter, the different seasons. God did that. God did it. Well, the other thing that God did is he set up a principle of seed, time, and harvest after the seed. Sowing and reaping is a principle from God that the Bible calls good and perfect. Yet, what do we think at times? Oh, here's Pastor Mike focusing on the offering for the building fund. Would he just shut up already? Come on. I know that's how some people, not in this crew here, but people, would he just shut up about that? Why would I shut up about that? It's a good and perfect thing that God instituted that gives us the opportunity to increase and reap. Now, here's the awesome thing about that. Go with me back to 2 Corinthians. I'm almost done. I know I've said that a lot of times now, but it's keeping you interested anyways. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we know verse 6 says, you sow bountifully, reap bountifully. But look what it says in verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. Second Corinthians, Jenny. That's okay. Amplified's fine, sure. And God who provides seed for the sower. Why do you get seed? So you can sow it. Bread for eating will also provide, notice this, multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits. What's he saying? What do we know about Luke 6:38? Give, it'll be given back to you, but how does it come back to us? Not the same way we gave it. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's how it comes back to you. He says here, in the offering where Paul says, I'm reminding you, sow bountifully. Why? There's a bountiful, when you sow, God can multiply. How big do you want your multiplication? Well, I know with multiplying, when I multiply something by something, if my numbers keep going up, the answer keeps going higher. The answer keeps going higher. Praise the Lord. I think it's amazing. That's why when you sow into me, I'll just tell you the truth. Jeff walked out to my truck and he blessed me all the time, handed me a $20 bill. As soon as he gave me that, I thought, what's the harvest on that? And I prayed, Father, bless him. Father, bless him. He said you'd do what you do. And I know that what he gave me, I got. But that's a seed. And I know this, that when I put that seed in the ground that I bought for that 4.5 acres, it didn't come back to me the same way. It didn't come back to me in an increment that I could fit back into those 4.5 or those 4 to 5 bags that I got. It came back in the form scattering that seed out. It came back in the form of a whole field of green and lush that I could never pull the harvest out of the ground to fit back in those 4 bags. It came back to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Why? Because God is good. He's not trying to take from you. Paul's not standing up there saying, I'm trying to rob you. He's saying, no, I'm trying to get more into your account. So remember that, to take it seriously when you go to the Father and ask, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to give? And if he says to you a number that stretches you or that's a little uncomfortable, just remember what he's trying to do. Amen? And then I'll just say this last but not least about being, I'll just say it this way. Every time I'm in a service, I give an offering. I can't give a tithe every time because I don't get increase every day. But I can give an offering every time in a service. And you say, why do you do that? Well, think about corn season around here. You plant corn at the end of May, middle May, more end of May, latest first week of June. And what? And it takes about 3 months, right? June, July, and August. By the end of summer, we're eating corn, right? And buying it and into September. Well, let's just say it's a 3 month span, give or take, whatever. So you plant it in May, you got June, July, and August. Well, why does that work? Because that's the climate around here. But let's say you lived in a climate and the number one resource is corn. It's how you make your money, it's how you eat your food, it's how you make your food, whatever, feed the animals. And let's say you live in a climate where you can plant and reap corn all year round. And it's the main source of what you need. Wouldn't that farmer, if it takes 3 months to reap it, and that we need that all the time, and we're in an environment where we can reap all the time, do you think the farmer in that climate, in that environment, and needing that, would only plant at the end of May and only get the harvest one time a year? Why not plant fields in May, 3 months later, get it? And then why not plant one in June and 3 months after, get it? And plant one in July and... Because what happens then, you're constantly planting, but you know what you're also constantly doing? Reaping. And we always know you reap more than you planted. And I know naturally some of these things don't work because we don't have a climate like that and you don't have unlimited fields, but the supernatural trumps the natural. We have fields and fields spiritually to sow into. Every time you show up at this place, it's a field that you can sow into. We have ministers, we have ministries, we have the needy, we have whatever the Holy Ghost. There's fields, abundant fields for us to sow into. Well, why do I always sow? Because Pastor Mike Anderson likes to always reap. And you start to get in like the farmer would, plant in May, reap in September. Plant in June, reap in October. Plant in July, reap in November. You'd constantly be in a cycle of receiving. Amen. So I want to encourage you going forward, not just with that offering, take this seriously. Become a sower and recognize what belongs to you as a sower. Increase multiplication, right? Amen, amen, amen. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, we're just reminding people what you said. And Father, as we get forward to go forward towards the building fund offering, the first one in 2022, I can only thank, Father, and gather that if you're mentioning us to reevaluate, you're wanting something different for us throughout this year and through the end of the year. And so I pray for clarity for everyone. First, I pray for people's eyes to be open, that they would even bring it before you, and that they would recognize, I'm a part of this place. And there's an opportunity to bless this place, but to bless my life personally. I pray that people would recognize that. But then I would pray, Father, if you are trying to get them into something, maybe they're already so generous and they're excelling in this, and you're just going to encourage them to keep on going, keep on doing what you're doing. But Father, if there's something more you need to get into them, if there's things down the road, a harvest that they'll need, or just an increase, a new lifestyle, a new place financially, I pray that they would hear, Father, and that they would obey. And again, Father, you're good to us. You're not trying to take from us. You're trying to help us, trying to get more into us. We thank you for it. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. I want to give everybody an invitation real quick. And please listen to these words. First of all, I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't have you stand up or come to the front or say anything on your own. In fact, people's heads are bowed and eyes are closed. But I read a verse in the offering, the very first verse we read tonight. God so loved the world that he gave. And he did. He gave sacrificially, and he gave a son, and he reaped many sons and daughters. But the Bible says that God gave Jesus for a purpose, so that we would not perish but have everlasting life. And God doesn't want you to go anywhere after you pass away from this earth other than heaven. He made heaven for you. In fact, the Bible says, I go there to prepare a mansion before you. It's wonderful, and it's so easy to get there. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, and this, I'm speaking to you on live stream as well, heaven is such an easy place to get into. I don't know what churches have told you, I don't know what people have told you, I don't know what ministers have told you. It's not about jumping through religious hoops and doing religious cartwheels, or your good deeds outweighing your bad, or how much you go to church. Your church attendance can't get you in, your lack thereof can't keep you out, your good deeds can't get you in, and your bad deeds can't keep you out. But what you do with Jesus is the measuring line. And the Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that whosoever, and the next wording, next words are so key, whosoever would believe on him. That's it. Nothing about church, nothing about giving, nothing about good deeds and bad deeds. Whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. And if you're here, you're watching by live stream, you can say, I don't know for sure that I would go to heaven. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to ever step foot in this church or any church. But God has offered you salvation out of his loving, out of his generosity. He's so kind and good. And if you're here tonight, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and you can say, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to. It's a free gift, you just told me, Pastor. No requirements, just believing in Jesus. Again, we won't embarrass you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus for the very first time, would you lift your hand high in the air and I'll have you put it right back down. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. Anybody at all in this room want to receive the Lord for the first time? Again, just lift your hand high in the air. I remember when I made that decision. It was the best decision of my life. Anybody at all before we close? Father, I don't see any hands in this building. But thankfully, it's not about raising the hand that gets us accepted or into heaven. And so if there's someone here, Father, or someone by live stream right now or in the future via the archive, and they've not made Jesus the Lord of their life, I pray that they would not pass from this life until they've accepted him. And you say, Pastor, how do you do that? You just cry out to him, call on his name, believe on him. How does that sound? It sounds like this. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. I take you as my Lord and Savior. If you'll pray that and mean it, he'll do what he said to do. Now, if you're watching or if you're hearing, you say, I'm confused, I don't understand some things, my number is on the website, my email address is on the website, get a hold of me. And we'll look at some things in the Bible. I'll make it so easy for you to understand and show you how loving your Heavenly Father is and how he wants nothing but good things for you. Church, let's just stand to our feet and begin to worship him and thank him. Let's praise him tonight for sowing and reaping. An element, a supernatural element that he put on the earth that enables us to increase. Thank you, Father. I'm not stuck with my paycheck. Thank you, Lord. I'm not stuck with a lack of an inheritance. My harvest depends on me, not the government, not my paycheck. If I endeavor to be generous, you're going to multiply. I thank you for sowing and reaping. It's not a burden. It's not a weight. It's not a yoke. Thank you for the opportunity that we have in this church, a field that is so ripe for fruit, for a harvest. It's just ready. Good ground, Father. We praise you. We thank you. All the seeds that we have in the ground now, they will come out of the ground in a multiplied fashion. In every seed that we sow going forward, we say it comes back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We say and declare that increase, prosperity, and abundance are the mark of our future going forward. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I love you and appreciate you. You are dismissed. Praise God.